bringing us all here. For it is no coincidence, it is no by chance that we're here. And who is here? We're here for a reason. Or I like so much the saying, when we're here, what are we here for? And Lord, I pray that as we worship You and the message, that You would bring that to us, just as this song spoke, I come to Thee. I'm here and I'm waiting. Lord, speak to us this morning. Use my mouth to bring Your message before us, Lord, that it might change us from within to become more like You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Eva, today we're going to really speak about God and who He is. And first of all, the creation moment we're going to share, this is one that evolutionists would have you believe that this animal, this fish, is growing legs and going to start walking on dry land pretty soon, and it's like the missing link. It's called the red handfish. It's one of several species of handfish that live in coastal waters of southeastern Australia. It has quite unusual fins. The front pair of fins look a bit like hands, while the pectoral fins are extended away from the body like arms, ending with hand-like paddle. The fish pushes against the seabed with these fins and moves along to search for food. It's quite capable of swimming quickly if need arises, but it prefers to stay on the seabed most of the time. The fish's motion could be described as walking, but it's not the same kind of walk as that of land animals. Land animals support most of all their weight on their legs, which must be strong and heavy bone to work. But living underwater, the handfish body weight is mostly carried by buoyancy, and the fish bears little weight. The light structure is well suited in this way of moving under the water. There's at least five species of handfish that live around Tasmania. The red handfish was first described in 1849. Now I want you to take note of that, 1849. They haven't changed. They're the same handfish. They're being found in the vicinity around Port Arthur. It's small, typically being around 3.2 inches long and fully grown. And they live in depths from about 6 feet to 100 feet. They once were common in that area, but now are rare. Just a few specimens have been collected. Their habitat is quite restricted, and they're only found in a few places in Tasmania's coastal area. The spotted handfish is somewhat more common, but even it is only found in a few locations. Early settlers reported them being common, but now they mostly have vanished. They're now considered endangered. Only 20 years ago, a book described them, 20 years ago, get that again, an excellent aquarium specimen. But now their numbers are so low that the location is not published to guard them from the illegal trade. Of course, different things because of the decline of habitat and runoff from built-up areas, and the Pacific sea star was introduced to that area, and it eats their eggs. Nice job, guys. So, handfish are closely related to the better-known anglerfish. Now, I don't want you to get nightmares, because the next picture is going to scare you a little bit, but you can see the little thing out in front of the fish there, and that's what the anglerfish has. They're better featured known to as a lure, but the angler and the handfish, they have this projection, and the anglerfish serves it better to attract fish. The handfish doesn't necessarily do that. So the next one, yeah, there we go. You know, close your eyes if that scares you. The next one's going to scare you even more. Smaller fish investigate what looks like a tiny morsel, and then they become the meal. However, since handfish eat mostly worms and crustaceans, they don't really use that lure like the anglerfish. Now, if that doesn't give you nightmares, I don't know what would. Nevertheless, the lure can be lowered or raised so it can serve to attract prey also. So the handfish and the anglerfish are related, but they don't look quite the same. There is no suggestion that the handfish are in any way a missing link between fish and animals with legs. The handfish undoubtedly a fish with gills and fins living at the bottom of the sea. So even though it can be said to walk, it doesn't mean that it's part way along some evolutionary path to becoming a land creature. At the beginning, God created all living creatures to reproduce after their kind. Handfish have always been handfish, just as God said, and their offspring will be handfish too. We'll do well to conserve this intriguing little creature. We should take care of God's creation, but they are handfish. Is that clear? Okay. You know, the question arises because when we see a lot of things in this world, we tend to have the question, where is God? Can we be sure that there is a God? Did we come from apes? You know, evolutionists, they are adamant. You know, this is the way it is. And there is even the statement that the evolutionists use that we're only a few markers away from apes in our DNA. We're going to find out that's not true. There's a lot more than that between us. But the world throws questions at us and challenges our faith. And we want to be sure. And so how can we be sure that there is a God? I want us to go to Romans chapter 1. It's the first of a few evidences. But this, we're going to be here for a little while. 1708 in your few Bibles. 1708. In your few Bibles, chapter 1, starting in verse 18 in Romans. And of course, the whole scripture you can read for yourselves if you want, but we're going to concentrate on 18 through 23. It says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what they may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles." So what we see here is that yes, God did give us proof. God has given us proof just to look around. Look around at creation. God gives a proof. Now, the evolutionist, on the other hand, Satan's handiwork, I would say, because he's developed this alternate belief system. Now, they would have us believe that this all evolved, that everything just, you know, in millions, billions of years evolved. So we have to go and think logically on this. We have to think logically. Let's go back. Where did the earth come from? Well, they might say, well, it came from the Big Bang. You know, this material exploded and then the universe was created, all the stars and all the planets. This sounds like a big stretch, you know, for us, because we know that God created everything and it's all perfectly aligned. But to the evolutionists, it sounds pretty good. But now we got to go back a little bit further, because no matter how long it took, if it took billions of years, because they keep stretching it out, it used to be millions, now it's billions, because they realize as technology grows that things are too complex to develop in millions of years, so they went back billions. So let's say we go back billions of years and we come to a beginning. What was that beginning? How did it happen? Was the material eternal? Well, according to carbon dating, they say no. You know, now, this is another misrepresentation, because carbon-14 can only date 80,000 years back. So now they're adding on these numbers and they're saying, well, billions of years. Well, you don't even have anything to test that far back. But that's the assumption that all the material in the universe is eternal. And that's not true according to the evolutionists. Things develop. So if things aren't eternal, then what is eternal? God. Something had to come from something. You know, that there was you know, no material. How did the Big Bang even start? And why did it even bang? Why, you know, all those questions they have no answers for. You know, it came to the one situation where, and I think I've told this story before, where the scientist told God, he says, I can do anything you can do. God says, all right, show me. So he reached down and grabbed a handful of dirt, and God says, use your own dirt. You know, because they have nothing. If you're going to create something, you have to have something to create it from something. And so if we go back far enough, there's nothing. And the only thing there is that we can rely on then is God. Now, you say, well, okay, you know, evolutionists might say, well, okay, fine, you know, maybe God kind of threw some material our way, but evolution took over from then. Well, that's impossible too, because that doesn't even cover DNA. Now, DNA, the helix of DNA, is so complex that there's no way, absolutely impossible, for it to evolve. Now, I want to read a few things, and it's going to be a little technical, confusing. I know I had a hard time. I picked out a few things. The whole article is just, you know, too much to try and read it all. But I'm going to read a few pages of this, you know, just things that I highlighted. And I want you to try and follow me as best you can. The Human Genome Project was started in 2003. They decided they wanted to find out how complex human beings are and how closely related. And really the reason they did this is for evolution. Because they wanted to find out how we evolved. Well, what they found out was threw them all back on their heels. Because first their first thoughts were that it was embarrassing to find that we only had about as many genes as mice, about 25,000, constitutes only 3% of the entire genome. That's what they thought. They thought that there was 97% of our DNA makeup was what they called junk DNA, that it didn't do anything. It was just there. And so they compiled this whole story about evolution, that the reason that we had this junk DNA was it used to be used way millions of years ago, but mutations and leftovers and ancestors, you know, and all that kind of thing, you know, just it decayed and corrupted a little bit. So now we have 97% that's not used. They've constructed this elaborate evolutionary history for different kinds of life that came from it, and the genes were known to function as segments of DNA, and they were interspersed, and you know, all this other stuff. They came up with some really great stories, and that's exactly what they are, stories. Genes were scattered throughout the chromosome, somewhat like beads on a string, although some areas were gene-rich and others were gene-poor, and so they're saying that, you know, just things were scattered, and nothing had a lot of sense. Only 3% really had sense to make out of it. Well, the whole structure of understanding has now been turned on its head. A project called ENCODE recently reported in an intensive study that their findings show that the 3% is not all that we have and that's being used. In fact, this further study with more wide-ranging methods raised the figure to 100%. Transcription means that probably the whole genome is used by the cell and there is no such thing as junk DNA. There's also no beads on a string, linear arrangement of genes, but rather interleaved structure of overlapping segments coming from one gene. Transcription process is not just one way, but it's both backwards and forwards. Just threw them back. I'm going to tell you. They They also found that RNA, ribonucleic acid, works with DNA. Now, the RNA is a long single-stranded molecule, not unlike a long piece of sticky tape. It will stick to nearly any surface, including itself, unless properly coordinated. It will scrunch up into a sticky mess. These results are so astounding, so shocking, that it's going to take an awful lot more work to untangle what's already going on in cells. Evolutionary histories for everything we are going to have to undo their years of junk DNA-based historical reconstructions. They're going to have to wait for the full implications. One of the supposedly knockdown arguments that humans have common ancestor with chimpanzees is shared non-functional DNA coding. That argument just got thrown out the window because now we're way different than the apes. Our DNA is so complex that I don't care if you have billions of years, it's not going to form on its own. There had to have been a creator God who developed them. So, what do we have then? We have the proof about this. We have scientists that got so involved in proving that evolution was true that they decided to lie about it. I got some slides. Professor Rainer Troeltsch von Vieten lied about the age of the Neanderthal skulls and artifacts for 30 years. A university panel exposed his fraud, and he resigned February 2005. Proch said that the Bishkopf spire skeleton was at 21,300 years, but testing at Oxford showed them to be 3,300 years. That's a little different. The next slide shows a history. It took us 40 years to figure out that the missing link Piltdown Man was a fraud. Sawed down teeth on an ape's jaw combined with a medieval human skull, both chemically treated to give the appearance of a very old fossil. The next slide shows human evolution. They have human skull fragments, and an orangutan jaw gave the Piltdown Man its features. Smashed face and cranium and a human jaw gave the Neanderthal his features. A smash and mix of different species gave us the Peking Man. You know, these aren't proofs. They're shams. They're frauds that evolutionary scientists thought, well, we'll just put all these things together and we'll find this guy. Haeckel, he's made his confession. He claimed also that spontaneous generation must be true, not because it had been proven in the laboratory, but because otherwise, what? It would be necessary to believe in a creator. These are guys who are so set on disproving God and proving that evolution is right that they're willing to do whatever it takes. You got to be really careful. And that's why when they started shouting about our DNA isn't that far off from chimpanzees, we have to say, wait a minute, is that really true? Well, at the time when they didn't have as much technology, they probably thought that. But now technology to the greater good has been proving more and more how they're wrong over and over again. Advanced science has proven evolution to be flawed and can't be possible. In Romans 1:22, remember what it said? Although they claimed to be wise, they went to all these colleges, Oxford, Yale, Harvard, all these great colleges, and they became what we considered wise and smart, and they became fools because they refused to believe what really happened. It's kind of like four men on an airplane. One being a CEO of a major company, one being Prince Harry, the other one claimed to be the smartest man in the world and a Starbucks employee. And the CEO, the plane starts going down. There's only three parachutes. The CEO says, you know, I need, if I died, my company would just fall apart and we can't have that. The economy would be wrecked. Prince Harry says, I should get a a parachute because, you know, after all, I may be king someday. And it would be horrible if, you know, I went down with the plane. Smartest man in the world says, you know, I need a parachute too. And he grabbed a parachute and jumped out of the airplane. Starbucks employee stood there and they all looked at him and said, you know, what are you going to do? He grabbed the parachute. He said, no, man, smartest man in the world grabbed my backpack. Claiming to be wise, he became a fool. God has revealed himself in creation, but then there's some people that cry out, if only God would come down and show himself, then we would believe. I want you to go to Philippians 1785 in the Pew Bibles, Philippians chapter 1. Oh, chapter 2, sorry. 1785, Philippians 2, starting in verse 6. Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He did come to this earth. We call it Christmas. Jesus Christ, born in a manger. He came to this world to what? In 30-some years, 33-plus years, he came down, showed us God. He told us about God. He shared about the kingdom of God. He did all the things that we needed to know. And what did they do? Nail him on a cross. God is here. God shows us everything we need. Not only did he show us everything we need, but he came to this world and he paid for our sins. Now all he asks, all he shares with us through his word is that we believe. Is that so hard? Why is it so hard to believe that God is who he is? Because we have all the proof. Everything that we need to believe. Are we so filled with pride, like Haeckel? We're so filled with pride that, you know what? I don't care of all the proof out there. I don't want to believe in God because I don't want to. Well, you know what? That's okay if that's what you want. But then don't shake your fist at God and say, you know, you never told me. You never were there. Because he is there. Yes, we go through a lot of trials and tribulations in this world. We go through a lot of things that shake our faith. But he is there. Satan wants to shake us. Satan wants to take us out of the picture. He doesn't want us to be witnesses for him. And so if he can distract us with evolution, with Bigfoot, with UFOs, with ghosts, I don't care what it is, if he can distract us out of the picture with those things, then we are useless for him. Satan will do everything that he can. And I'll tell you that it's like 90% truth and 10% lie. He will make it sound so good that you're going to say, oh, that's got to be right. And he will use lies and fraud to change our heart, to change our minds. But when it all comes down to it, this is the truth. And we need to trust it. We need to put our lives in it. And all this evolutionary stuff is baloney. And we need to come to that conclusion that all these things that have been trying to be shoved down our throats and preached at us for all our school lives is a bunch of lies. And we need to understand that and trust his word. God is God. He has done it all. And what a great God we have. He is an awesome God. I'd like us to close. Let's close in prayer first. It is It is an amazing thing that we know the truth. And yet, you know, of course, at the youth conference, Recharge and that, we're not telling about it. So we got to get out there. We got to be a little more vocal about it, because by golly, evolutionists are screaming it. But we got to share it and let people know. Let's bow our heads. Let's have a word of prayer before we quit. Father, thank you so much for the proof that you have given us. Thank you so much that we aren't just believing in blind faith, but we have proof. We have things that you have shown us. And not only that, but Jesus came. How much greater is that, that the God who created all things shed his glory and came to earth and lived his life as a man to show us and tell us and an example to us what we need to do and what we need to believe. Lord, I pray that you would guide us through this world of confusion. Help us to notice and to take note of and to know what are the frauds and what are the lies. Give us discernment in this world. Protect us from Satan's schemes. Lord, now we pray that you would help us to just worship you as we sing this final song, that it is victory in Jesus. And we can trust and have complete confidence in you. Lord, now we ask your blessings as we close in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. It's up on the screen, 5:11 in the hymn books, but it'll be up on the screen. Two verses of victory in Jesus. I heard an old story.